tonight in England so far? It's an honor to be here. Sorry, I'll just hold it. My bad. When before service, Isaac was like, man, pretty much just like handing you a mantle here, and I was like, dude, I'm totally honored. And it is truly an honor to be here. A little backstory of me and the band. I'm Travis. It's nice to meet you. And I'm just a guy who had a past like a lot of you guys, and I fell in love with Jesus. I was really lost, now I'm really found, and couldn't be more happy. I can't shut up about Jesus. I literally just can't be quiet about my Jesus. I don't believe Jesus was quiet for me, and so if he told me he loved me to the tomb of dying on the cross, surely I could live my life for him. And so, anyways, well, Chaotic Resemblance is a band from Oklahoma, the United States, like we said, and ever since I was young, I knew that I had a call for music, and I had a call to preach the gospel. And so when I was younger, I just remember visions and prophecies and stuff of this kind of a thing, and my whole life. And the years went on, and my family are ministers and pastors, but what started to happen was I started to live from like a goosebump experience to a goosebump experience or whatever. Started living a lot by feelings, and when I couldn't feel God, I felt like I didn't know him, or like he was far away, you know what I'm saying? But the Bible says that they're justified by faith and not by feelings. That's something I didn't understand at the time, but what had happened was I started to get real curious. I got addicted to some bad stuff. I got addicted to pornography for 7 years, and I would get on stages and stuff and play with my band, and we would say, hey, you know, if you guys can pray afterwards or whatever, you know, we were kind of a little bit more shy then. We'd be like, you know, we have hope talk for you or whatever. And you know what's so funny is the world's cool with you saying hope, but when you say Jesus, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. And you know, they're cool with saying good vibes, but when you say Holy Spirit, people start to get a little freaked out. But I like to say, and I really believe with all my life, man, I would run this ship into the ground screaming Jesus is Lord before I ever compromise again. But anyways, I had this secret life behind the closed doors, and it wasn't a secret place that we're supposed to have it. And I've come to find in my life that the devil's a counterfeit artist. And he doesn't counterfeit $1 bills, or here, I guess, a pound. But he counterfeits the expensive stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like the secret place, the place where your relationship with God is cultivated, when nobody's looking, when you pull away in private. And that's the kind of place where a lot of sin happens, man, is when nobody's looking. And it's like you take that first glance, or you take that first sip, or that puff, or whatever it might be. And it's that same thing, and it's such a counterfeit of what it looks like to pull away with God and take that first kneel before Him, and to take that first glance into the Scriptures, and take that first glance into His eyes. And it's such a counterfeit. But anyways, I love Jesus with all my heart. And so He completely and totally encountered me. I had an encounter with God. Changed everything. And so I stopped living, stopped preaching my parents' doctrine and my pastor's doctrine. But I had an encounter with Jesus. And I met Him so I could speak to Him. And it's the same thing in our lives. We have to know Him ourselves. And you can't go off of Pastor Vince's relationship with Jesus. You have to personally know Him. And I just thank Him for His goodness, man. God is good. And it's simple and plain. I love the scripture. David says, I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And one of my other favorite scriptures is in Psalm 103. I'm sure you know it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth will be renewed like the eagles. And there's a translation that I wrote in here that I love so much. It says, He fills my life with good things so that I stay young and strong like an eagle. God is good. That is like the foundation belief system as a Christian, is that God is good. And what I heard from a minister once, and I love it, I think the gospel should be very simple. A child should be able to get it. And so I love this impression of God. It's God, good. Devil, bad. Okay? Healing, good. Cancer, bad. Okay? And a lot of times we think that God's subcontracting all this stuff, but He even said in the Old Testament, I forgive all your iniquities. I'll heal all your diseases. And see, a Jesus that saves and doesn't heal isn't the Jesus of the Scriptures. In Matthew, and I'm a word guy, so I'm going to be flipping back and forth, but in Matthew chapter 9, it talks about a guy who was paralyzed, and they brought him to Jesus. And Jesus saw the paralytic, and He said, "Hey, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." And the Bible says that at once some of the scribes within themselves said, "This man blasphemes." But it says, Jesus knew their thoughts and said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins." He took the paralytic and said, "Arise." And the guy took up his mat and walked, man. And so, Jesus saves and heals. It's just who He is. And so, a Jesus that doesn't do that is not the Jesus of the Scripture. So, that's something that I've really learned to love about Him. You know what's funny is the Pharisees, they think that in their heart, and they're troubled in their heart about what He said, that He forgives sins. Only God can do that. Who do you think you are, you know? But Jesus, it said, He knew their thoughts, and He told them, so that you may know. And it's so funny, because even the Pharisees, even these people that completely hated Him, Jesus still had compassion on them, and said, no, that you may know. And you can see, you can hear His heart in Matthew 23 when He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those that are sent to her, how I wanted to gather you as children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." And you can hear His heart when He says, "Hey, you know what? I came for you, and you guys weren't willing." You see, the Pharisees, they had to know the first 5 books of the Bible. They knew the Torah by memory. But when the one who was all about was standing right there, they did not recognize Him. And Jesus says to them, He says, "You search the Scriptures because in them you think you have life, but the Scriptures speak of Me."
Amen.
The Scriptures testify of Me.
Yeah.
You see, the sad thing would be to know the whole Bible by memory. And you can know the Scriptures by heart, and it's great to know. But man, I'd rather be able to walk out a few than be able to quote 100.
Amen. Amen.
And that's the kind of thing, the life that Jesus is going after here. And it's the same kind of tone in John 14. And these are just a few scriptures that were on my heart this morning. Where Jesus just gets done saying, "Hey, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And no one comes to Me no one comes to the Father except through Me." And He goes, "If you had known Me, you would have known My Father also. But from now on, you know Him and have seen Him." And Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father, and it'll be sufficient for us." And Jesus says, "Man, have I been with you so long that you have not known Me?" And I think it's just like the Pharisees. They got so used to it, man. They got so used to playing church or, you know, and if we're not careful, we can do the same thing even here in 2019 in England. If we're not careful, we can do the same thing. We're saying, "Man, have you been with Me so long? Have you played the game so long? Have you played church so long that you haven't known Me?" And how sad would it be to live your whole life quoting scriptures and doing all these things and to never know Him? Because this whole thing is about knowing Him. Jesus said in John 17:3 that eternal life is this, that you would know the only true God. My favorite scripture. And Jesus tries to be saying, "Son, man," and it's all about knowing Jesus. And how sad would it be to go your whole life without knowing Him? Well, that's what it's always been about. So it's a very big beginning. It's been about union of God and man. And so man and God are walking in the cool of the garden, man. Things are awesome. And then man falls. And what happens? Sin separates. God hates sin because sin separates. And so when Jesus came, I love this. Adam comes and he falls, man. And he goes and he hides naked and ashamed in the trees. And God says, did you eat the fruit? He goes, no, it was a woman you gave me. She made me do it. But when Jesus comes, he hangs naked and exposed on a tree for all to see. And when Jesus came, he didn't blame his bride, but he said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And so he's so awesome. That's why he's called the last Adam. There's not going to be another one, because he already did it. All this hinges on knowing him. Christianity is all about knowing him, all about having union with him. In Luke 24, there's a story, and it's about these two disciples, and they're on a road headed to Emmaus, and they start to talk about Jesus, and they start talking about all these things that have happened. And the same thing happened then that I believe is going to happen this morning. As they started to talk about him, he showed up.
Amen.
And I believe that he just can't help it when we talk about it. He can't help it when they come. He says, for two or three are gathered in my name, there I am, even in the midst. And I believe he's going to be in our midst this morning. But the same thing that happened then may happen this morning when he came and didn't recognize him. And I think a lot of times God comes and we don't recognize him. Maybe it's because of what we were raised in or our ideology about God and who he is. But sometimes we don't recognize him. We don't recognize that voice. He says, hey, no, that's not you. And we mistake his voice for the strangers. And Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice. And the strangers, they won't follow. But a lot of times we'll hear those lies and say, hey, you know what? You're not good enough. And you'll believe it. But the truth is that when you replace those lies with the truth, and so when those lies come and say, hey, you're not good enough, you go, no, I thank you, Father, that the blood of your Son has justified me.
That's right.
And I remember after I had my encounter with God, I was going through this time period where I kept getting these thoughts going my way. I didn't know how to deal with them. I felt so in love with Jesus. And right before that, I would listen to like 8 hours of work and just like, you know, metal music in my ears, just rock and roll and stuff. But it was so bad, the music I was listening to. The lyrics were terrible. It was all about sex and drugs and all that stuff. And I would just feel myself with that. But when I followed Jesus, I would listen to the scripture all day long at work. I would go home and I would read the Bible. I would go home and I would worship Jesus. Me and my wife, we would play and sing and worship God. But what started happening was, even at work, when I would listen to the scriptures, even a word in the Bible would trigger an old thought. I would remember something I had seen or something I had done. And I would have these dreams that I felt like I was cheating on my wife, cheating on my body, doing all these things. I'd wake up and I'd feel so ashamed. The devil would remind me of who I had been and tell me that's who I'm always going to be. And this is just a phase. It's just another goosebump. And I believed it. I think so many times we do that. And we think that we need to call the church and be on a prayer chain. But it's not prayer that sets you free. It's the truth that sets you free. And so filling yourself with the truth. And I remember one day I was at work, and I was listening to the Bible, and a word triggered a thought just like that. And I started crying. And I said, Lord, I don't understand what's going on. I don't get this. Help me, Lord. You know that I want to know you. And I'm infatuated with you, but all these thoughts keep going my way, and I don't know how to fight them. And I said, God, what do I do? And I do construction stuff with my dad at home. I was spraying these boards in my Bible app. Never done it before, never done it since. It skipped to Luke 4, where Jesus is being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And he kept saying, is it not written? Is it not written? Is it not written? And I heard the Lord say, do as I did. And so then I started practicing. I would replace the lie with the truth. When I would wake up at night feeling like I had done all these terrible things and having these dreams, I would wake up and I would worship God and I would thank Him and I would say, Father, I thank you that all things have passed away and all things are new and now all things are of you, God. I thank you, Lord, for reminding me that I'm not that person anymore. I knew it wasn't God getting me those dreams, but man, I would just like completely ignoring the Satan. I just wouldn't even acknowledge it. I would get up and I'd go to my prayer room and sometimes be there for a couple hours on my face before God. Before you know it, you're praying for the nations, or you're doing all this stuff. You know, you forget what even woke you up. And I'm telling you, I stopped getting hit that way. And it's the same thing that I truly think is the way to take those thoughts captive and put them into obedience, those disobedient thoughts, to replace them with the truth. And so anyways, back when I showed you, the disciples, the two guys are walking and they're talking about Jesus, and he comes and he comes to the fore, they don't recognize him, and Jesus starts asking questions, and so they start to tell Jesus about himself. And it's funny because Jesus interrupts him. He's really good at doing that. And he interrupts his voice. And what's so amazing is he opens up the scriptures for them. And it says that he expanded to them in all the scriptures concerning himself. And it goes on and says, then they drew near to a village where they were going. And he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went and he stayed with them. Now, I'm not trying to make a theology here, nothing, or a doctrine, but there's just something that stood out to me here. I love that it says that he would have gone further. And I don't know if he was just talking about merely a location. Like, I'd go further with you. I believe that he would have continued to open up the scriptures for me. The Bible says that his secret counsel is with the upright. See, God, he longs to unlock the secrets of his heart with his children. He longs to spend that time with you and show you in the Bible that it's all about him, and show you places, and show you, and hold your hand in the garden of the word. And I believe that's what he was doing, but the disciples were like, you know what, it's far spent. And how many times are we like that in our own life? And we're like, you know, I probably should spend time with you, Lord, but I'm so tired. Or I probably should spend time with you in the scriptures, but God, you know, I got so much to do right now. The day is spent. I'm hungry. I'm agitated. And how many times are we like that? God saying, you know what? Come with me. I'm going to show you more. And it's so awesome is that he's always available. 24/7, he makes himself available. He's always available. And I want to be like that for him. I mean, you think about your own life. How available are you for him? And think about how available he is for you. He always is ready to give you more and to give you more. And I believe with all my heart that you can have as much or as little as God as you want. There's a scripture in Samuel. Let me see if I can get there. Like I said, I love the scripture, so. That's when David fell, and he had, you know, done the whole thing with Bathsheba, had his best friend killed and all that. I love it when Nathan came to him, and he tells this whole parable about the lamb and all that stuff. And David's like, you know, we're going to get this guy. And he's like, man, that man is you. And this is what the scripture said. It says, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house. I gave your master's wives into your hands, into your keeping. And I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? And I love the language where he said, man, I gave you all these things. I gave you the throne. I gave you Israel. I gave you Judah. I gave you all these things from your master. And if that had been too little, I would have given you so much more. And God, he wants to give us so much more, and more of him, and more of him, and more. And his desire is to continually give us more. And I think sometimes we get that wondering eye like David had. You know, even being a man after God's own heart is what it says, but you know what happened is he took his eye off of Jesus. And in 2 Corinthians, there's such a blueprint on how to walk. It says, oh, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin of Christ. But I fear lest somehow as a serpent deceived me by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that's in the Christ. And I really think that's the blueprint. Is we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. We have to keep our ears on Jesus. He says, I fear that somehow as a serpent deceived Eve. And what did he do? What did he do? He started speaking to her. And what did she do? She listened to another voice. She took her eye off the tree of life and put it on another. And it's the same thing in our own lives. It says, the simplicity, it corrupts your mind and take you away from the simplicity that's in the Christ. It's so simple. It's all about staring at Jesus, being infatuated with God. And when we take our eye off of Him, that's when we lose it, man. It's like the psalmist said, you know, Lord, keep my eye from looking at worthless things and revive my way. Revive me in your way. And it's the same thing. We keep our eyes on Him and we stay in His way. But when we get that wandering eye and we start looking at, you know, different fruit that I can eat from that's on God's tree, that's when we mess up. That's when we make a mistake. You see, I really believe that the gospel is so simple. It's all one thing, and it's Jesus. It's knowing Jesus. It's loving Jesus. It's believing in Jesus. And it's not chasing after signs or chasing after these things. But as you fall in love with Jesus, this other stuff becomes a byproduct. It says that the signs follow the believer. And I really believe that, you know how we have this side of the church that believes that in healing and the gifts and everything, and this side that doesn't believe in the gifts and healing and all this stuff. But I really believe that if we as believers would just believe, we wouldn't have the side that believes and doesn't. We would just walk as He said we can walk. And it's just as simple as loving Him and believing in Him. It didn't say that you're going to have to do all these crazy things. He said, no. If you believe in me, you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. If you believe in me, you'll speak in other tongues. If you believe in me, you're going to do all these amazing things. And greater works will you do, he says in John 14. I can't even wrap my mind around that. That's like the scripture that says we're more than conquerors. It's like, what? How can you be more than a conqueror? You know, you just get start to think about it. But man, I just love Jesus so much. And I couldn't be more thrilled to know, not that just one day when I die or whatever happens, that I can, you know, go to heaven one day. But I know that Jesus came so that heaven can come and live inside of me.
Amen.
So everywhere I go, I can represent Him. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 2, I think it is, that it says that thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. And through us, diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place.
Right.
So that means that if I'm going down the street of London or if I'm here in church or whatever it is, in every place He diffuses His fragrance of the knowledge of Him.
Amen.
So Jesus said, when I said, where's the kingdom of heaven? He said, don't look here, don't look there. The kingdom's within you.
Yes.
So everywhere you go, you know, you can almost say,
the kingdom's at hand.
Because the kingdom's tangible, because you're there. And I love that. In the kingdom of God, there is no sickness. In His kingdom, there is no demonic inspiration. In His kingdom, there is no cancer. There's no death. There's no leprosy in His kingdom. And so there's just this amazing thing that happens when you realize that you're a son, and you realize that you're a daughter, and you know who you are, and you know Him. It's like this trying to do the right thing where you're gritting your teeth, you're like, oh, I'm not going to drink today. I'm not going to cheat on my wife today. I'm not going to look at this girl or this man or whatever it may be. And you're so sin conscious, and all you're thinking about is trying not to sin. Man, if that's all you're thinking about, you're probably going to sin.
Amen.
But when you turn your eyes on Jesus, when you turn your eyes on Him,
yes,
the things of the world that used to taste good, they just lose that luster, man. They lose that taste because you've tasted and seen that He is good. When you've tasted Him, nothing else tastes good. And the lyrics that you used to listen to in music, they just won't do it for you anymore, man. The movies you used to watch, they just won't do it for you anymore. The language you used to speak, it'll sound wrong coming out of your mouth. And I don't think it's this big, like, you know, I gotta try to do this, I can't say it, I can't do this, I can't do this. It's just as simple as you walk and as you fall in love with God, you just like cuts off another, turns another branch, like, whoa, what was that? You know what I mean? And it's like, ah. ow, that kind of hurt. And then you're like, you know what? Actually, this feels pretty good. This feels pretty good. And it sounds a lot worse than it is, you know? And I remember, it's like, I know we all have this testimony, but it's like, the things that used to be okay in your life, the more you walk with them, just aren't okay anymore. And it's like, if I would have known that, you know, I wouldn't, like, 5 years ago, certain things, I would have been, like, completely freaked out. But as you fall in love with Jesus, man, it's not even a thing. It's not even a question. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And what he's saying isn't like this, you know, conditions. Okay, here's the deal. If you love me, you've got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this, 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 this. That's not what he's saying. He's saying your love for me, a byproduct of your love for me, is going to be walking the way I walk. He said it in 1 John. He said, anybody who says they abide in me, I'm going to walk just as I walk. And that happens just by being with him, man. And it's like my wife. I never have to grip my teeth and not, you know, cheat on her or whatever. It's my love for her. It's not like, you know, oh, I can't do this because I'm married, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, no, why would I do that? I'm in love with my wife. It's the same thing with God. It's like, no, that doesn't even look attractive. Why would I want that when I have all of this? When you think about this big, massive God who created the universe, created the heavens, the earth, you, everything in it. Man, you think about all that big God, I want to put all the big with him and all the little you. It's hard to even imagine, man. But he loves us that much. And he cares for us that much. And when you realize the gospel message isn't about Jesus coming and dying on the cross to expose that you're a failure, to expose that you're a sinner, that you're always going to miss it, and you're always going to have that one thing that you trip up. But when you realize that Jesus came to remove sin, and expose that you're a son, and expose that you're a daughter, it changes everything. It changes everything. And so, if you guys would, we're going to just move along and pray. So, Father, we just love you, God. We thank you, Lord, for the gospel. We thank you for your son. We thank you that you will come and die for us, Jesus. That you weren't scared of our dirt, Lord. Something always amazing happens when you put your hands in the dirt. We thank you, Lord, that you put your hands in our dirt. In the beginning, when God created man, he pulls man out of the dirt. And you think about John 8, he's right in the dirt. Nobody knows what he really said, but something amazing always happens when you put your hands in the dirt. So, Lord, I thank you, God, that you are not afraid to be with your people. That in the old covenant, if a man touched a leper, he was dirty. But you come, Jesus, and you touch the leper, and he's cleansed. And I thank you, Lord, that you want to cleanse us, Lord. So, Father, we just love you. And if there's anybody in here, and nobody's looking, that would say, you know what, Travis? I want to know Jesus the way that you're saying. I don't want to just live a life serving him and just a life for him. But I want to live a life serving him, but I want to live a life serving with him. Living a life with him. You want to know him in a way that you can commune with him like a best friend. Jesus said, no longer do I call you servants, but I call you friends. If you want to know Jesus like that, would you raise your hand? Anybody in here at all? Man, I see it. That's awesome. That's awesome. You know what, if there's anybody in here that would say, you know, maybe you feel like you've given your heart to him. You asked him to your heart maybe when you were younger. But like me, for 25 years, you withheld your life. And that's a really sad thing to do. You know, you can say a prayer and ask him to your heart and live like hell. But when you give him your life and you realize that he didn't say, you know, say this prayer and one day you'll be with me in heaven. He said, you know what, if anybody would deny me, or deny themselves, excuse me, if anybody would deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. And if that's you, and today you want to, you know what, just want to give it all to Jesus, give your whole life to him, would you raise your hand? Anybody in here? You're awesome. Awesome, awesome. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody here that's had like any kind of a head trauma? I don't know, I'm just hearing that in my heart. Like some kind of a head trauma, maybe an accident or something like that, and there's some like residual stuff, or you constantly get migraines. I don't know. I see head. Is there anybody does that sound like somebody? Is that you? Okay, awesome. We're gonna pray for that to leave. I just felt that in my heart. Is there anybody that that it's got something going on. I see around the stomach, maybe bladder, something inside. I really like the woman. Is there a lady in here that's got something going on? And nobody's looking. I just hear that in my heart. Maybe your insides. Is you? Okay. All right. That's awesome. Yeah, Jesus is gonna heal you. All right. Just rotate your cuff. It's like a right shoulder. It's just been killing you. Anybody? Is it you? It's your shoulder. It's your left shoulder. Right. Just pray for that too. So, if you guys will, man, let's just pray. So, Father, we love you, God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you paid the cost. And all we have to do is believe. It's not some special prayer we say, Lord, but it's you. We just believe in you. We trust in you. So, right now, if you guys would just repeat after me, just say, head trauma.
Head.
Leave in Jesus' name. Stomach issues, bladder issues. Get out in Jesus' name. Shoulders be healed. Knees be healed. Diabetes, leave. Cancer, get out. Depression, leave. In Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for having us. We love you so much, and thank you for letting me talk about Jesus.
Amen.
We love you. Stand for your feet with me. Come on, give God some praise for that word. That was awesome, wasn't it? That's okay if you're scouting for a football team, especially the Dallas Cowboys, right about that. You shouted for King Jesus. Yeah. There needs to be some noise in here.
Yeah.
That's really, really loud. Come on. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. What we're going to do right now is we're going to have the band. We're going to close us out, but we're going to take up our morning offering as they do that. And then Miss Lily's going to come and close in prayer. Were you blessed by that word?
Yes.
I tell you what,
amen.
A phenomenal young preacher right there. Phenomenal,
amen.
Gift of evangelical witness.
Yes.
Phenomenal.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, bless you, Lord.
Is it okay if we play you guys one of our songs?
Yeah.
All right. This song's called Jesus is King.